back on this Football Thursday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Vic Carucci here, and we have still with us Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, to talk more about the Browns offseason. And when it comes to discussion, I think it's fallen into a couple of categories. And I think the first, obviously, and it's the category that probably dominates almost every team's discussion, the first is talking about quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. And is Brandon Whedon the guy? And we still don't know the answer to that. We certainly have reason to wonder about it because he didn't close that deal. He didn't put a stranglehold on the position for himself. I think even for the previous coaching staff, as much as they probably very likely or definitely would have gone forward with him, but it still left those questions in their mind as to exactly what you have. So now you have a new coach and a new group here wondering about what he's all about. And I think the only thing that gives him may provide hope, I say the only thing, one of the things, is that North Turner is aboard to possibly improve him.
Yeah. The only thing that resonates with me, Vic, and see if you agree with this, is that the one thing that was troubling to me about Brandon's performance, and he had 15 games to do it, was that he never dominated one game. There wasn't one game where I said, boy, I'll tell you what, he lit it up. There was a Monday night game one time where Bernie Kosar just lit it up, and you said, wow, there it is. There's the game. The lights went on that night. Now, there were parts of games.
Moments.
Yeah, there were moments in games. Maybe a good quarter. Maybe there was a good half. But there were not four quarters on the same Sunday or in the Thursday night situation when they played over in Baltimore that I would say that he played the complete game from start to finish that you said, okay, that's the real Brandon Whedon right there, or that's the Brandon Whedon we are going to try to have play for us each Sunday in the NFL for the Cleveland Browns.
That's fair. And because when I think of the two, in my mind, the two quick highlight moments of Brandon Whedon's rookie season, I point to two losses. I point to that Thursday night game in Baltimore where that
he was
real
tough.
Promising.
Right.
He was tough in that promising drive at the end, and it looked like, okay, it'll take a lot, but just maybe he pulls it out. And then what happened in Dallas? Where he was making those two touchdown passes to Ben Watson, the bringing him back at the end and getting to overtime in that game, those were impressive. Otherwise, you look at the quick leads that this team built and
the
also
Giants.
Surrendered. You know, the Giants game, right, was one of them.
Yep.
And you sort of said, okay, because it wasn't sustained.
Yeah, you go back to the Dallas game, and you're right, because he was good in the beginning, and he was good at the end, and he was clutch at the end. So, I mean, you know, that even gets elevated a little bit more. But there was a pocket in the middle of that game, right at the start of the second half, where in the third quarter they got back into that where he just couldn't get that third down throw. He got sacked once and lost the ball. It just didn't move them. They got the ball out by midfield one time, didn't get a first down, didn't knock the Cowboys out, let them hang around. And I think, you know, you look at that game, the Thursday night game, he had a rough start in that ball game. Mm-hmm. And then, as you said, he kind of got bloodied a little bit. He got knocked around. And I like the fact that he came back and he finished very strong. And maybe if Greg Little holds onto a ball, we're in overtime in that ball game. But, you know, you're right. And I think you agree with me that there wasn't a game where you said, man, did he light it up. The San Diego game, I think we complimented him more for what he didn't do in that game, which was he didn't turn it over.
Right.
It was a rainy day. He didn't make a bad throw. He threw it into the ground when he had to.
Indianapolis was another encouraging game. He did outplay Andrew Luck.
Yes.
And you know, you're talking about the guy who was a strong candidate, obviously, for Rookie of the Year. But he did outplay him in many respects. So, yeah, there were moments. There were not those full games, and I'm with you. Now the question becomes how much of – see, I think he is – when Norv Turner is going to take a hard look at the type of quarterback, the prototype style, the physical, this is what I need, the big arm, the guy who stands tall in the pocket, the downfield types of plays, potential – that he wants from that position that has defined North Turner as an offensive coordinator and as an offensive-minded head coach. He's going to see Brandon Weeden and say that is the kind of guy I'm looking for.
Right, because there is no limit to his length.
Yeah.
I mean, really, his length is down the field, and you know, he can make all the throws in that regard. Now, is he making the right throw? Does he have the right mechanics? I mean, when we talked the last time, you had said that Norv noticed a little something in his delivery. It was a little long, right?
Yeah, wanted him to be more compact.
Yeah, more compact. So that is, I think if he's going to succeed, he's with the right guy. He's with the right guys, plural, because I think Rob Chudzinski can do some good things with him, too, as his head coach. But certainly he's with the right guy as his quarterback coach and his coordinator in Norv Turner. I mean, Brandon should feel comfortable when he puts his head down on the pillow that he's going to be coached up.
He's going to be coached up, and I think he's got to do some serious sort of soul-searching, I would hope, for his sake. And what I mean by that is, you know, really understand that whatever he did as a rookie wasn't good enough for this team, and it wouldn't have been good enough for the previous staff, and it certainly he's got to make a statement to this staff. So how much can he do on his own to help
himself? It's all hindsight, but should he have had to have competed more for the job? And then I would say to you, was there competition there for him to compete with? I mean, was Seneca Wallace an option, you know, to start the season? Did you really want to put McCoy in there against him? Would it have hurt to put McCoy in there in a good competition against him? I mean, you know, basically, you know, let's face it, we were all out there on that afternoon practice when they made the announcement and early in training camp, this is our guy.
Yeah, I'd say I'm not fully aboard with that. I don't think it was a matter. I think he was the best physical talent there.
Sure.
And I didn't have any questions about competition. My questions were, were his skills being put to the best use? Was this system, this scheme right for him? And I think you could make a pretty strong case that it was.
I agree.
I think that's
sure.
the bottom line. Jim Donovan, the voice of the Browns, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, as we talk with you on this Football Thursday edition. So, Jim, it also opens up the question, while we're on the quarterbacks, is to where this team does go for another quarterback or couple of quarterbacks or wherever they are. If it isn't Brandon Weeden, who is it as a starter? And I'm going to sit here and say it's unlikely to be Colt McCoy. I don't know that it's going to be Thaddeus Lewis. I'd like to think that they'll all get sort of a fair look, but really, when you look outside the team, I don't think there's any easy, obvious answers. Of course, you could say if Joe Flacco enters free agency, you know, you pounce on him in 4 seconds, but not even 4 seconds, a millisecond. But that's not going to happen, right?
I don't think so.
I mean, I can't see it.
No, and you know, I think that I mean, I'd be sitting in Joe Flacco's shoes right now, huh? To come off that kind of performance, that kind of year, that kind of postseason, that kind of Super Bowl, and to then sit down at the bargaining table. I mean, that is position A. I mean, Baltimore would be insane to lose him.
Yeah.
You know, maybe in one way, Vic, you force them to really, you know, overpay to keep them, and they can't keep other aspects of their team.
Right.
So we're getting away from the quarterback thing, but maybe some players that who are also sitting on that Ravens roster who are up and are on the, you know, hoping that there's money left for them so that they can stay in Baltimore. Maybe it's not there because of the amount of the Flacco deal, and they have to go somewhere else, and you scoop them up. Suddenly you're making a switch to a 3-4. You're going to get some players off a team that has a really good 3-4.
Sure.
Maybe that some players fall to you. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think there'll be a quarterback come in here, though.
I think there's going to be.
I think there will be a competition.
At least one quarterback, and yes, there will be a competition. Yeah. So if it's not Joe Flacco, who is it? Well, the draft, you go to free agency first because that is what's going to happen in the calendar first, but via trade. So Alex Smith's name is in that conversation from San Francisco. Matt Flynn from Seattle. Are those real options? Do you really see something there? Is Kirk Cousins as an outside possibility from Washington if they decide that they want to get some value for the guy that they had drafted in addition to RG3?
Can they afford to do that?
And could they afford to do it?
Yeah, because of what happened and the unknown
aspect. Coming back from that knee
whether or not RG3 would be ready at the beginning of the year. Are the Patriots willing to let a guy like Ryan Mallett go? And again, but now you're getting a guy basically that would be in the same position that Brandon actually Whedon's ahead of these guys because he's played.
That's what I was going to say. Does anybody in this group do it for you?
No.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's where I am,
no,
too. I don't see the must-have guy.
No.
And again, we'll put Flacco in must-have category, but he's not really there. He's not really available, at least in real terms. Now, if he is, okay, we'll have a different conversation. But for the sake of who could be more realistic. And then there's the draft. And Geno Smith, his name obviously is brought up as the best of a crop that is considered far weaker than last year's. And it would take a lot to be even close to what last year's was. So Geno Smith and go down the line of
Matt Barkley
and just
kid at Florida State. So I understand. It's an interesting position to be in, but you got to have somebody at that position. I really do believe that it's the position that really defines your team. You know, whether or not you're going to move to any kind of upper level as far as competition is concerned, you got to have it, and you got to make a declaration that that's the guy. And I think the Browns are in a position right now where, I don't know if they're happy they're in that position, but they're in it, and they're going to have to address it.
They're going to have to address it in a big, big way. And I don't know that it's addressable in the ways that last year was, because some would argue that if you had Brandon Whedon available in this year's draft, he'd be the best of all these quarterbacks.
Yeah, that's true.
That you put him ahead of Ryan Nassib of Syracuse and any other name that you want to bring up, Landry Jones from Oklahoma. I mean, those guys would all be sort of so maybe what this draft then is becoming is it more of a Russell Wilson project where you're looking for that guy who's, okay, maybe in the third round.
And he pops up and becomes a guy that can play for you. And you bring that kind of guy in here to compete with Brandon Whedon. You know, I could see that definitely, you know, being a strategy that the Browns could use going into this draft. But free agency is expensive, you know, in every area, no matter what position you're going to go for. And a trade becomes, you know, expensive too, because you start giving up future as far as draft picks are concerned. So you have to be very, very careful when you go and do it. I mean, Seattle paid a ton to Matt Flynn, but ended up with Russell Wilson. Now, in the end, they're very happy with who they have. But imagine we're talking about a guy like Matt Flynn being available again. And this guy's basically only played one game in his NFL career in the regular season. And he did it as a Packer.
And when you look at the Browns sitting there at sixth overall, and I think we both agree there's not a sixth overall quarterback probably from this group. We could somewhat safely say that. I know the combine's next week, and there's more gathering that I want to do of analysis. But let's agree on that. The other thing is, for the team's needs, you know, I'm looking on the defensive side too, right? You've got to see who can be brought aboard to help make this Ray Horton 3-4 defense sing.
You know, and Vic, I think I would have been looking defense even if nothing had changed and they were going to stay in their 4-3. Mm. I think I still would have been looking on the defensive side. Pass rush, exactly. You know, possibly young linebacker, you know, that can do a lot of things for you. So I would have been looking defense anyway at number 6, and I think they should look defense when they do select at number 6.
Yeah, a difference-making guy. Right. Someone who can take, because as much as we'll talk about get the quarterback who makes the plays, you've got to have a guy who actually gets the quarterback. and that's what this team desperately needs. And if they're going to make the strides, and if this defense is going to be what we believe it will be, aggressive, attacking, you got to have people who are aggressive and who attack.
Or as Ray Horton would say, big guys that can run and little guys that can hit.
Exactly.
You know, somewhere in the middle there, you're going to find a guy.
They want the big guys who hit, too.
Yeah, right.
All right, great stuff, Jim. Thank you so much.
Good to be with you, Vic.
He is the voice of the Browns, Jim Donovan, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We have got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.